if you just say it, I tell you, it resonates. And it's very, very uplifting just to even recite it. Also, this is the beginning of our first quarter. And for this quarter, we're looking at faith and checking our roots. Faith checking, or check your roots. And so based on that, I am asking that you look with me at 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read in your hearing verses 1 and beginning in verse number 1, and then we will conclude in one of the verses. But read along with me. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. The reason I chose this particular text is because embedded in this text is our theme, the unshakable faith rooted in an unmovable God. If you pay close attention, the subject that is addressed is God in verses 1 through 4. What this great unmovable God has done for all mankind is expressed in verses 1 through 4. The process of building our faith, making our faith unshakable, is discussed from verses 5 all the way through verse number 10. When he makes the statement to us concerning the fact that we will not stumble, that's another way of saying that if you do what I'm telling you, you will not be shaken in your faith. You know, if you look at verse 1, he uses like precious faith, like precious faith. But notice that he makes it known. He says that this like precious faith with us by, watch this, the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. There are three roots that I'm going to discuss from this passage. Our precious faith is rooted, number one, in the root of the righteousness of God. Number two, our precious faith is rooted in the provisions that God gives us through knowledge. Thirdly, our precious faith is rooted in the promises of God. If I do an adequate job, I'm hoping that when you understand those three roots, that your faith will grow deeper and become even stronger, not allowing you to be shaken in your faith. When I looked at this passage, I thought about the author who wrote this epistle, Peter. Peter writes this epistle having experienced his own faith being shaken. For when Christ was being crucified and tried and crucified, the question was asked of Peter, "Are you one of his disciples?" And Peter, three times, denied Jesus. His faith was shaken. After the resurrection, the Lord approached Peter and asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And each time Peter responded, "Yes." And then this is what the Lord told him: "When thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." What I find in this text, in both epistles, is Peter seeking to strengthen the faith of the saints. In 1 Peter, the first epistle, he recognizes that our faith is going to be tested by external forces. During the writing of 1 Peter, it is believed that Nero was persecuting the people of God. And it was under Nero that it is believed that Paul was martyred, and even Peter would be martyred at the hands of Nero. So he writes to the Christians, helping them to strengthen their faith, that their faith may not be shaken in the midst of these external trials and persecutions. He writes the second epistle, that knowing that not only will we be tried by external forces, but the church and Christians will be tried by those internal forces. Second Peter puts emphasis on the fact that within the body of Christ, there will be false teachers and false individuals, false prophets, who will threaten the faith and the salvation of the children of God. So when I look at this passage, I want you to understand that I'm going to seek to develop these three points. That is the root of, first of all, the righteousness of God. Secondly, the root of the provisions of God through knowledge. And thirdly, the root of the promises of God. Now, you need to know that to do a good job, I can't cover all of that material in this one lesson. And so you're so kind to tell me, just take your time, Brother Gibbs, and just do what you need to do. And I appreciate that. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So this morning, what I want you to do is look with me at point number one, the root of the righteousness of God. Look at the text again, and I want you to follow this because I believe it will strengthen your faith. Notice he says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained," what? "Like precious faith with us." Watch the word, "through the righteousness." Some version will say, "in the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So our faith is rooted in the righteousness of God. Now, when I look at this phrase, the righteousness of God, you need to expand your understanding of its meaning. When you hear the phrase, the righteousness of God, certainly we know God is righteous. We know that there is no sin in God, no darkness in God at all. God cannot sin, will not sin. That's why he is called righteous. Now, when you hear the phrase or read in Scripture where it says the righteousness of God, you need to see this meaning. Number one, the method of God saving mankind. The method of God. And not only must you see it as the method of God, but you must see it as the plan of God. And when you see the phrase righteousness of God, you need to also see there's a person that is being spoken of in the righteousness of God. God's method is righteous. God's plan is righteous. And the person of the righteousness of God is a righteous individual. Now, in order to give clarity to that, I'm going to have to go to the Apostle Paul to help give even more information. I want you to follow me now. And I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 16. And I want you to see how Paul identifies the righteousness of God. In verse number 16, he says, "For I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what?" Watch this. "The power of God to what? To salvation. For what? Everyone who what?" Now watch this. "Everyone that what? Believes." Now underscore the word believes. Watch this. "For the Jew what? First. And what? Also for the what? Greek." Now watch this. "For in it." In what? Wait a minute. "For in it." In what? In the gospel. In it. What are we talking about? The method. In it. The plan. In gospel of Christ, which is the power of salvation, in it is found, watch this now, "for in it," the what? "The righteousness of God is" what? "Revealed." How? From what? "Faith to faith. As it is" what? "Written," watch this, "the" what? "The just shall" what? "Live by" what? "Faith." So what you see is that our faith is rooted in the righteousness of God. Our faith is rooted in the plan of God to save us. Our faith is rooted in the method by which God saves us. And it's called the righteousness of God. Well, what I need you to do is to go with me now to the third chapter of Romans. And I want to show you how the phrase righteousness of God is the theme of this wonderful epistle. Watch verse number 19 in Romans 3. "Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the" what? "Deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Here's our phrase, verse 21. "But now," now I want you to see, I understand that God gives law. God gives commands. The law of Moses was a document of law, a document of commands. But he says that no flesh shall be justified by the law and by the commandments of God.
But watch what the Bible says. But now, the what? The righteousness of God, apart from law, watch this, apart from law, is revealed. In other words, God's plan, God's method, God's way of saving us is not based on keeping law. Are you with me now? I know. Now we say that we want our faith to be strengthened. Then you're going to have to see what the Bible teaches. And that is that you and I, our faith is rooted in the righteousness of God. That's God's method. That's God's plan. That's God's way of causing us to be saved. Are you with me? Now, watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, what I'm telling you is not new. I introduced it to you in the Old Testament. In other words, God wants you to know that this is a plan that didn't just happen. It's not a plan that just he suddenly brought into being. It is a plan that he purposed from the very beginning of time, and the law, and the prophets of old testify to this method, to this plan, to this way of salvation, which is by faith. All right. Now watch this now. Watch verse number 22. Even the what? The righteousness of God through what? Faith. Watch this. In whom? That's the person. So every time I see the phrase righteousness of God, immediately my mind goes to method. Immediately my mind goes to plan. Immediately my mind goes to a way. My mind goes to a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So watch what the Bible says. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all. Stop. To all or on all. Are you with me? To all and on all. Wait a minute. In other words, to all, God's method, God's righteousness of salvation is for all people, everywhere, Jews and Gentiles. But watch this. But it's not just to all, it's on all. But watch the clarifier. On all who what? Believe. In other words, God's salvation is available to every man. But it's only to those individuals who will believe on Jesus or believe in Jesus Christ. And everybody's not going to believe in him. Everybody's not going to accept him. But if you will, the Bible said there is no difference. Now watch this. For all have what? Sin. And fall short of the glory of God. Jews and Gentiles, all have sinned. He made that argument from chapters 1 all the way through chapter 3. But watch this. Being justified. Watch the word. Being justified freely by his grace. Justified simply means that if I am justified, that means that I am a person who is righteous, sinless, perfect, good, have never sinned. Now, I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, that doesn't sound right because I know what I did last night. I know that don't sound right. But watch this now. Being justified freely by his what? Grace. By his what? Grace. In other words, when I declare you righteous, when I declare you sinless, it's not because you're sinless, but it's because of my grace that I impute it or I give it to you. Now watch this. Here's what he said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, if it had not been for Jesus bearing, carrying our sin, watch the next verse, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. His blood through faith. When you take the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and you believe it, and you believe it, you believe there was Jesus. There was a Jesus who died, who was buried, and you believe that he was resurrected. The Bible says if you do that through faith, God will be able to clear you of all your sin. Watch this. Not just your past sins, but your present sin and your future sin. If you could ever get in Jesus, believe in him, have faith in him, God says, your sin problem, I have taken care of it. I ain't getting many amens on this. But I know I'm all right. Watch this, for the Bible says, to demonstrate his righteousness. To demonstrate his righteousness, I'm in verse number 25. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. In other words, God is saying that I've got to be, my plan and my method has to be a righteous plan, a just plan, which means that I can't just overlook sin. I can't just cover up sin. I can't turn my back on sin. I got to deal with sin. And so from Adam, watch this, the sin of Adam and Eve. Amen. Guess what? The blood of Jesus cleansed, wiped their slate clean on the cross. His blood went all the way back to Adam and Eve, Moses, David. Every sin that they ever committed in the Old Testament, the blood of Jesus cleansed it and wiped it all away. What a mighty Jesus. What a mighty blood that is. This blood goes back. This blood is present. And this blood is effectuous enough to be able to cleanse the whole world, those yet unborn. Powerful demonstration of the righteousness of God. Jesus had to go to the cross and die. But watch what he says. Verse number 26, and I know I'm getting long, but that's okay. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just. That he might be just. Somebody's got to pay for the sin. Somebody got to pay for every sin that I've ever committed, every sin I'll ever commit. Somebody got to pay for it. And if I pay for it, I'll be lost. But thank God Jesus died for me. Ask me, am I going to heaven? Yes. If you doubt whether you're going to, wait a minute. Let me take it down a notch. If you're doubting whether you're going to be saved or not, something wrong with your faith. If you're living, like if you commit a sin and you say, I can't wait to get to the church, and ask the brother and sister to forgive me and pray for me, because if I die before I get to the building and walk forward when the preacher finishes preaching, I'm going to lose my soul. That's not good doctrine. That's not good religion. That's not good teaching. Your spiritual life does not hang on every sin that you commit. But it does hang on your faith. A lot of the folk who come forward really don't have to come forward. If you curse somebody out on your job, you don't need to come here and tell us you curse somebody out on your job. You go tell that folk, that person, I'm sorry I cursed you. We don't need to know about, we don't need to know about all of the stuff going on in your home. If something went on in your home, get it right at home. You don't need to come up here reporting. God already know it. And guess what? The Lord, if you repent, the Lord is, I mean, bring it down a notch. All right. If you repent, brother, if you get back on track, the blood of Jesus takes care of it. No, I'm justified. Now, I know you want to find fault. You say, well, I saw you doing that. And that. Well, I know you did, but guess what? There are going to be some folk, listen to me well, there are going to be some folk who will go to heaven before some of us who think we're righteous. No, I know what I'm talking about. Look at the Pharisee. The Pharisee, I thank God, because he wants to prove his righteousness by what he does. But the publican said, forgive me a sinner. And the Lord said, that man went down justified. I'm gonna say something. I know you're not gonna really. The doctor, Larry Nassar, who took advantage of 156 teenage girls under the guise of being a doctor. Listen to me. He ought to be. They gave him 40 to 175 years. The father wanted to beg the judge, just give me 5 minutes with him. That's what you call justice. No, y'all not going to pray with me now, but I'm trying to tell you that if Larry Nassar makes a decision, let me preach. If he makes a decision to turn his life around and give his life to Christ and have faith in Christ, every sin he's committed with that 156 girls has been cleansed in Jesus. And we have to accept him as our brother in Christ. We are people, we don't like this kind of preaching. We want folk to be able to pay for what they've done. But the Lord ain't in the paying business. He's in the forgiveness business. Forgiveness business.
Amen.
We always want. I'm trying to show you the righteousness of God is a method, it's a plan, it's a way for God to free us from all of our sin and make us right in his sight. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. Don't get caught up in your past and in what's going on in you. All you need to do is ask the question, am I in Christ? And if you are, the Lord has paid for your sin. Some of us, the reason our roots and our faith won't go deep is because we're living with a whole lot of guilt. But But I don't have to live with guilt. Never. Because the plan, the method, the righteousness of God cleanses it. On what basis? On the basis of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now I'm on, I can't preach everything right now. You know I can't. And I'm going to deal with faith. I'm going to deal with what true faith is. But before I deal with that, I want you to understand faith is not in a doctrine. The faith I'm talking about is not in a doctrine. The faith I'm talking about is in a person. The person who gave us the doctrine. Listen to me. If you just believe in the doctrine and you don't believe in the Christ who gave you the doctrine, your faith is vain. I know. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, I ain't never heard that kind of preaching before. Well, I'm going to tell you. If you're going to have an unshakable faith, you got to really understand what God really is calling for and what God has really done for us.
Amen.
Excellent. I want to go to Romans chapter 4, and then I'm gonna quit on this one, but this proves the point and makes the point. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father was found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham, this is in Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, that word accounted is a word which means imputed, which means a legal transaction of something from one account to another account. Now, here's what God did. When God found that Abraham really believed in him, a God that he could not see, a God that he could not touch, but a God who he knew was truly God. And when God knew that he really believed in God, the Bible said he accounted his faith as righteousness.
Amen.
Now here's what God did. God took Abraham, who was imperfect, and because he believed in him, then God took his righteousness from his account, transferred it over here to Abraham's account. And so now Abraham is righteous, not because he's righteous within himself, but because by a gift from God, God made him righteous. This is what happens on all of us. When we are baptized into Christ, a legal transaction takes place. God forgives you of your sin, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is taken and put into your account. And that's really what it's all about.
Amen.
That's why when you read the righteousness of God, you got to see that this is God's method of making and approving us to be able to be accepted in his sight.
Amen.
So, yes, I'm confident that I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And the reason is not because of my goodness. Because I know I believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And I know I believe in God. There are a lot of people who as I make my final point for the invitation, I'll come back. This is what I want to say. All right. You say, go ahead. All right. All right. There is no manpower. There is manpower. There is horsepower. There is electrical power. There's financial power. There's political power. Atomic power. Mechanical power. Demonic power. Military power. Angelic power. Microscopic power. Microwave power. Telescopic power. Wind power. Water power. Steam power. Fuel power. Engine power. Solar power. Nuclear power. Brain power. Go power. But none of these, nor even all of them put together, is greater than the power of the God who is able to save us, to rescue us, to wash our sins away and make us righteous. What a powerful God he is. God and his power means that he can do what he pleases, when he pleases, where he pleases, why he pleases, as he pleases. He don't have to ask nobody. Does it all by himself. Oh, I wish I had time. I tell you, there's no circumstance that he cannot restrict, no adversary that he cannot hinder him. There's no situation that can constrain him, no power that can control him, no enemy that can defeat him, no obstruction that can block him from what he wants to do. Thank God for Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, I could go on and on. From now on, when you see the term righteousness of God, I want you to think about what? Method. Are you with me? Plan. Person. Because that's God's way of justifying all mankind and being righteous at the same time. And that comes through what he did for Christ on Calvary. Oh, I wish I could go to Romans 8. You say, no. But that's a whole nother sermon. But we coming back. We coming back. And so I kind of got away. Kind of got loose. Got loose. Yeah. Seemed like I left something. But I hope and pray that you got what the message is. Amen. Is there somebody here who needs this kind of security in Christ? You need to believe in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin. Where I am, you cannot come. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to believe, even though you haven't seen him and you haven't been able to verify with this sight, but with the sight of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. Hearing by the word of Almighty God. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you put your faith in this Christ who died for you and you really believe in him and really trust him and rely on him, repent of your sin, confess him to be the Son of God. No one gets into the wonderful fellowship of Christ unless you confess that he is God. He is the Son of God. And then upon that confession, be baptized for the remission of your sin. And when you come up out of the watery grave, then God will free you from all your sin. He will put in your account the righteousness of Almighty God. Amen. Somebody ought to want that. If not, why not? Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing, will you come?
856. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source of love, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain free.